Good evening, everybody. I said, good evening, everybody. All right, hallelujah. All right, if you got your Bibles with you tonight, let me see you waving in the air right here. Wave your Bibles in the air. All right, that's your sword right there. That's the Word of God says, this is the sword of the Spirit. This is your weapon. All right. I hope that you guys continue to eat it up. Learn how to use it. Alright? Sword is only as good as the person who's able to use it. Alright? Some people, you know, they can cut themselves up, you know, if they don't know how to properly use, you know, a cutting knife or whatnot. But, you know, we are to correctly handle the word of truth. By doing so, we don't only save ourselves, but also our hearers. Amen? Alright, I want you to open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 to 3. Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 to 3. All right, hallelujah. It says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and His glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray together real quick. Lord God, I thank you, O God, for your word, O God, Lord, is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. We thank you, O God, that is judging the thoughts and intents of all our hearts tonight. I pray that your word, O God, Lord, will go deep into our spirit. O God, Lord, I pray that, Lord, as we, O God, sow, O God, our prayers, and as we receive your word, I pray that it will bring forth an abundant harvest, O God, Lord, a hundredfold of what was sown. I pray, O God, Lord, that our lives would abound with righteousness, with wisdom, with love, O God, Lord, and with just the power of your spirit manifest in our lives to make your glory great into all nations. And I bind the thief right now in the name of Jesus. I come against every work of the enemy that is in operation here tonight to distract, to mock, to deceive. I bind every evil spirit in the name of Jesus. I come against them. I take authority over them. And I nullify their works right now. In Jesus' name, I thank you, God. Hallelujah. That you're releasing your people that they can hear your word tonight. I thank you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Amen. You know, hallelujah. You know, tonight, you know, there's a little bit of a battle. There's a little bit of a battle. I don't know if any of y'all noticed, but there's a little bit of battle. Because devil does not want you to receive what God has readied for you tonight. Whether it be during the time of prayer, praise, or even through my message. All right? So I want you to be on guard. Because I can tell that there's a battle going on tonight. All right? So you guys need to be alert. You guys need to be, try to be wary of what's going on tonight. All right, let me share a word from the Lord tonight. You know, I've been reading about, various charismatic movements. And I feel like God's been really opening up my eyes because a lot of this stuff, I was just not aware of. Simply, I was just never aware of, or I thought of certain people in a bad light. But God slowly started to undo the damage that was done by perhaps my own prejudices and judgments. And I've been reading some interesting stuff. You know, for the first time, I've been reading key prophecies that are being made over entire nations, over the world, by, you know, people that are known, who have a reputation to have a prophetic ministry, not just for personal prophecy, but for entire nations. All right, it's real interesting because I've been hearing a lot of key prophecies for various countries, and one of those nations is actually Korea. Now, we're not talking about like a list of 40 nations, and one of them's Korea. I mean, I'm talking like these prophecies are being made about four nations, and one of them is Korea. So, people are making prophecies that lots of business deals are going to take place between Asia and America, and between Asia and Australia. All right. And that kind of, you know, that's just like a no-brainer. You know, if you just read the news, you know that the FTA is something that, you know, they've been pushing for a while. Obviously, if the FTA goes well, you know, there are going to be a lot of new business transactions being done between America and Asia. But this prophet was saying that this is going to go through in 2008. Hallelujah. I welcome that, because that means low-priced beef, right? You know, that means like steak and carby within the reach of an average dinner and meal from my missionary budget. Hallelujah. There's another guy named Dutch Sheets. He prophesied that there's going to be a transfer of wealth for social transformation in 2008. And this is something that I heard from Cheon. He mentioned that Dutch was prophesying this, that whether that wealth was made from a nation or from maybe even evil means like drug lords or whatnot, but that this wealth is going to be transferred for the purposes of social transformation, whether it's to end poverty or to end the child prostitution, slave trade, things like human trafficking. Thank you for the person going to law school. Hallelujah. As another lady was saying that that there's going to be a lot of increase of the supernatural in 2008. Now that's been happening in different pockets and different places. And for those who really open your eyes, you do your research, or you come across people you've met, you know, maybe like someone like Pastor Sam, maybe he's been able to come across more people because he has a generation of people in the ministry. But for the rest of us, you got to kind of do your research. If you come across some of these things, you know that there's supernatural things happening, but prophecies are being made that in 2008, there's going to be an increase in the supernatural in various places, all right? And one person named Julie Myers from IHOP, she's a worship leader there. And, you know, I'm just sharing with you. I don't know if this is like, I don't even know much about her ministry, right? But she was saying it with a lot of authority. And she was prophesying that it's going to be, 2008 is the year of visitation for three chosen nations. And one of them is Korea. That Korea, this is a year of visitation for Korea. And she also said something very bold. She said that God is erasing the boundary lines between the North and South. All right, and that, you know, that moves my heart, because that's something I've been praying for. And in my own spirit and privately, I believe that it's already been happening. God's been doing things there. And through inside information, I know that there's things that are happening to unify North and South Korea. But I've noticed that South Koreans are the ones that are most blind to it. They're the ones that maybe refuse to believe it, or they are not interested. But a lot of foreigners are in tune with what God is doing there to unify the country. And Julie Myers prophesied that God is erasing the boundary lines, because she said God sees Korea as one. Hallelujah. God sees Korea as one. All right. And in 2008, other people are believing God for what's called an open heaven in Korea. You know, Monica just came back from Mozambique. A lot of people believe that there's an open heaven in Mozambique. There was somebody that came back from Mozambique, and that person told me that when they were in Mozambique, they just lay hands on anybody and just pray, and then boom, they fall under the power of God. They get set free from demonic spirits, or they get healed. You know, they won't be able to hear, and all of a sudden their ears pop open. But when they came to Korea and they did the same thing, nothing happened. So he was a little bit inexperienced, so he just went in and was just like, you know, in the name of Jesus, be healed. And then he was just like, yeah. And then he looked and nothing happened. Nothing happened. And some people believe that the reason why a lot more miracles are happening in Mozambique than perhaps anywhere else is because there's what's called an open heaven. And when there's an open heaven, right, angels, they descend up and down into that place a lot more frequently. And angels are ministering spirits. So, you know, in the book of Revelation, angels go out and they cause disease. Angels cause, you know, this final judgment. They bring all kinds of destruction. But one thing they can also do is bring healing. And they can minister to people, right? And so wherever there's an open heaven, You're going to have a lot more abundance of miracles and healings and power manifestations taking place. And there's a lot of people in, you know, that Heidi Baker circle that are prophesying that God's opening up an open heaven for Korea this year. All right? So, you know, take it or leave it. Those are the things that are being heard and spoken out loud. Now, if any or all of these things happen or begin this year, this means Korea will suddenly become one of the craziest hotspots for kingdom work. All right, if you think about it, there's a lot of churches here. And there's a lot of churches, and because the world's largest church is here, there's a tendency to think that all the churches are like the world's largest church. But it's not true. All right? Most of the churches are not like that here in Korea. A lot of churches here in Korea need a touch of revival. They need an outpouring of God's Spirit, and that's the truth. All right? And although, you know, Korea is one of the biggest sending nations, right? There's still a big need for revival here, right? And the way we do missions from Korea, you know, we need to question, we need to examine, give careful thought to our ways about how effective are we really being into the missions field, right? Just sending people is not the only, you know, it's not the only thing. We need to go there and do things God's way, right? And I believe that the churches of this nation are going to be revived. From the pastor at the pulpit to the newcomer at the pew, I believe God's going to bring a mighty revival. Whether you like it or not, whether you're ready for it or not, from my own personal prayer closet, I sense that God's really been preparing Korea for a revival. And I believe that He's looking for people who are going to respond. He's looking for a response. He's looking for faith. He's letting these prophecies go out, right? To look how His people will respond. Right? And a lot of people have a passive attitude. Well, you know, if God's going to bring the revival, I guess it's just going to come. I'll just do my thing and I guess it's just going to come. No, you see, Henry Blackaby said, wherever God brings a revelation of what He's doing, He shows you what He's doing. That revelation can be the call for you to get involved with that work. Right? If God starts to reveal to you that He's indeed bringing a revival to this nation, that revelation is your call to get involved with what God's doing here in Korea. And then we read today in Acts chapter 4, it says, when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. You got to take note here, right? Before they were filled with the Spirit of God, what happened? What were they doing? Two things. They were gathered together and they were praying. All right, in the face of persecution, what they did was they gathered together and they were praying. And as they did that, God filled them with the Holy Spirit and they went out and spoke the Word of God with boldness. There's another lady named Stacy Campbell, and she said that prayer is the tipping point. If God's about to do something, prayer is the tipping point. It's what tips that revival over to make it happen. All right? And that's the means that God chooses. He chooses the prayers of the saints to tip that revival over. It's not like God's just like, all right, leave me alone. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring a revival, irrespective of what y'all think or how y'all respond. Now, God doesn't work like that, right? God's chosen the means, and that's through the prayers of the saints, right? We need to pray. And one prayer that I believe will be important in tipping over the jars of revival in Korea is a prayer that is hidden in Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 to 3. Okay, when you read that passage, there's a prayer that's hidden there that I believe that God wants us to take hold of in a new way in this new year. And personally, you know, the things that some of these prophets are saying, they're not surprising to me. I feel like these are things that God's been speaking to me about for the last 2 years now. Ever since I came to Korea, God's been really impressing things upon my heart. And when I pray alone, God stirs my spirit regarding Korea. He really stirs my spirit. And I get excited You know, I have a heart to go to Kazakhstan. I have a heart to, you know, do missions work in the Muslim nations. I have a heart to, you know, go back to New York City, you know, and see revival in New York City churches. I have a heart for all those things. But when I think of Korea, that's where my spirit gets stirred. Because I know God's doing something here, and He's speaking to me. And He's giving me a deep witness that a national revival is coming soon. You know, I have a friend of mine who has the gift of prophecy. And she's proven, in personal prophecy, she's been proven to me over and over again. And a lot of things that she has said has come to pass. And encouraged me. And really given me a deep witness. And one thing that she shared with me was a vision that she had while she was in Korea. And she kept saying that she saw an image of the peninsula of Korea. And it was one nation. And she saw God bring a revival to the peninsula. But it was from people. From the outside. That people from the outside are going to help make this revival happen. And that's what she told me. And then the first time I heard that, I was like, oh, that's nice, you know. That's great. And I didn't really care about staying in Korea at that time. I just wanted to do my 2 years and then see where the Lord leads me, you know. But I remember that stuck with me. She said, God is bringing revival to Korea, but it will happen through people from the outside. All right, if you're a Korean native, let me hear you say, yeah. All right, if you're a Korean native, come on, let me hear you say yeah. Yeah. All right, so we got a lot of Korean natives in here, right? Yeah. All right, I'm not here to offend anybody. I'm just here to share what God's been revealing to me. All right, you could take it or leave it. I'm not telling you that this is set in stone. I'm just sharing with you from my heart. All right, now I'm just sharing rather than preaching, right? And this, maybe some Koreans, they don't like that idea. And this seems unlikely. Since Korea has many talented and well-studied pastors. I mean, Korea has some of them, they have so many seminaries here. And these seminaries are really, really good in their theology. All right? And, you know, they're very studious people because, you know, Korea has one of the best academics in the world. Right? They're like number two or something, right? There's 100% literacy rate here. And it might be like, why would God need people from the outside? We already have enough people here. Why wouldn't God use people here? Or you might think Korea sends the most missionaries per capita of any country in the world. U.S. total sends more. But per capita, Korea sends so much more. And you might think, well, if Korea is sending out all these missionaries, why would Korea need help from the outside to make revival happen? But this is the vision that my friend keeps getting. Every time we talk on the phone, we affirm it. Again and again. I attended a conference last week featuring Heidi Baker. It was hosted by Harvest International, which is a ministry that's run by Cheon. And during the conference, it was clear to me that the pouring out of God's Spirit, healings, and impartations, at least at this conference, they were all being done by people from the outside. And I took note of that. I looked and I said, why isn't there a Korean pastor doing impartation? Why is there a Korean revival speaker up there healing people? Why isn't all people from the outside? I took note of that. And Cheon talked about the fivefold ministry, how God is really bringing the fivefold ministry into Korea. And this is also being initiated by people from the outside. All right? City Hall had a meeting a few months ago with foreigners, and they stated that there are about 110,000 foreigners in Seoul today. 110,000. That's bigger than some of the towns that y'all are from, right? In 2 years, that number is supposed to triple to 300,000, to over 300,000. I mean, it is such a huge issue that City Hall is planning to open up numerous foreign schools and foreign hospitals to accommodate this need and trying to make Seoul a foreigner-friendly place. It's all good news for us foreigners, right? Hallelujah. And the question is, why are there so many people from the outside coming to Korea then? You know? Now, I don't think that people are coming from the outside to Korea because Korea has the most friendly atmosphere for foreigners. Okay? It is friendly, but it ain't the most friendly. I don't think it's because of the food either.
Yeah, some people come here and they won't even eat any Korean food. You know, they're stick with whatever they know. I don't think it's because CDI is expanding their empire and people are massively attracted to career opportunities to teach in English. I don't think that's why there are so many foreigners coming here. I do not believe that. And with them, and many new foreigners that are coming, a lot of foreigners are also staying. I believe all this is happening because of the purposes of the Lord. Amen? All this is happening because God's doing a new thing in this nation. All right, and maybe you've heard that before. Maybe you heard me share that in different ways before. But look, it's upon us now. There's no more future. This is present. This stuff is upon us. And what God is doing is He's putting His servants in place for the coming revival. That's what He's doing. He's preparing people for the, let's say North Korea opens up tomorrow. How ready would we be to minister to North Koreans? You know, you can't just minister in the flesh. Some of them are going to really need a touch from God. They're going to need the power of God to really manifest, make God real to them. Because all they've known is Kim Il-sung and Kim Jong-il. Right? And I believe God is placing His servants to precipitate the coming revival. And I believe one key prayer that we need to pray in 2008 is this prayer in Isaiah 61-3. We need to pray for the glory of God to manifest in our lives. You know, before when I went on mission trips to different teams, I would always call the team and I'd be like, hey team, get together. We're about to start a revival meeting. I want you to do this. I want you to pray for the presence of God to manifest tonight. Pray for the manifest presence of God tonight. And I would tell the team that and they'd be like, what is that? And I have to explain to them, you know, God is omnipresent. But there is a presence that God does when He manifests His presence. He makes it known. He's like, here I am. And it comes with power, signs, miracles, healings, wonders. It's going to look bizarre. But when He manifests His presence, there's always going to be good things that He does. We see devil manifesting all the time. We have no problem with that. But when we see the Holy Spirit manifest, well, we get all critical. Right? So I told the team, we need to pray for the manifest presence. And that's what, and generally, I ask the prayer team to pray whenever we have a Sunday worship or whatnot. Right? And that's what we've been praying. But here's a new prayer. Not just for the manifest presence of God. We need to pray for the glory of God to manifest. We're not just praying just for the anointing. We're praying for the glory. You know, the anointing is wonderful. You walk in the anointing. You minister in the anointing. The anointing is wonderful. It comes in different forms, different levels. People have different kinds of anointing. You minister in the anointing. You could do law under the anointing. And you will do the kingdom work. And God can anoint you to do that well. He anointed the artists to craft the ark a specific way, a beautiful way. You know, the robes of the priests were decorated beautifully because He anointed these artists to do that. And there's anointing. But it's different when a person is just ministering in the anointing. There's a difference between the anointing and the glory. See, when the glory shows up, right? Pastor Sam could be on stage at some revival and ministering to Indian American young people or something, you know? And he's just like, if you want to get a touch from God, come to the front right now. And, you know, and people can come up to the front. Hallelujah, brother. Hallelujah. Be a man, right? Hallelujah. And Pastor Sam comes up. And, you know, and He touches people. And in the anointing, He heals and touches people under the power. People get set free. He prays for them. And bondage of the enemy is broken in certain people. It's just supernaturally, powerfully. Boom, boom. But it only happens for the 20, 30 people that He's able to pray for. And as the night wears on, that anointing starts to, you know, He needs a refill. See? But when the glory shows up, Pastor Sam can just start preaching. Everybody praying for the glory to manifest. The glory shows up. You just get boom, boom, boom. People just falling on the power of God. People getting healed and set free. People crying. Boom, there, 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 everywhere. People receiving the fire, the river of God. The joy of the Lord. That's the difference. The glory shows up. Angels are released into the atmosphere. They start touching just numerous people. The Holy Spirit just does a mighty work in the whole room. That's the difference. And that's what we need to pray for. You know why? Because that's coming. We need to pray, not, Lord, just give me more anointing. Lord, anoint. That's good. That's a good prayer. But we need to go beyond that prayer. Pray, Lord, manifest your glory here at JSCM. Manifest your glory. Lord, I want to carry your glory. Lord, when I go meet my family down in Daegu, they're under all kinds of bondage and lies. I want to carry your glory. Because when I talk to them in the natural, in the flesh, it doesn't do anything for them. They just get upset at me. But Lord, if I can carry your glory, if I can just fill with your spirit and your glory just shows up, all I got to do is just say a kind word to them. I can just offer to pray for them and boom, bondage can be broken over their lives that have been there for generations. It's a new kind of prayer. We need to pray with a new passion for the glory of God to manifest. Isaiah 60 verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. The glory of the Lord rises upon you. You know, when you arise and the glory of God rises upon you, you know what happens? The lame will walk. The blind will see. You'll bring heaven to earth. And we pray in the Lord's Prayer, you know, Lord, may your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, there's no disease. Right? And you want to bring heaven down to earth. When you got the glory and the glory rises upon you, because the glory just doesn't, it's not stagnant, it rises. And when it rises upon you, supernatural stuff starts to happen. When the glory of God rises upon you, you will begin to go to the places where there is darkness. Just thick darkness. That's what the scripture says today. Verse 2, right? See, darkness covers the earth. And thick darkness is over the people. Now, have you ever gone somewhere and sensed just thick darkness? Just like, you just can't describe it. You know, it's not the smog, you know. There's just like an oppressive spirit. You just go into a certain church, you can even feel that sometimes. One time I went to Yongir. I went to Yangji, China. And man, you just step into that city. The moment you just drive into the city, it's weird. Right from the border of the city, something changes. And just the sky looks darker. I'm serious. And it's just darkness. And one time, me and two brothers of mine, we were out playing, what was that? Hacky sack, what is the Korean word for that? Jegichagi. Somebody gave us a jegichagi with little feathers on it. We're playing jegichagi. And we were just like, yeah, we're in Yanji. You know, we had some time. And all the leaders were tired. So we went out and we just went played jegichagi in the town square. And it was like maybe like 10 p.m. And there's this guy come up and he started playing with us. And we didn't ask him to play with us, you know. So, like, okay, sure, you know. And we just were trying to be nice to him. And he started playing with us. And, you know, he's trying to do all these crazy moves. And we're like, whoa, he's pretty, no, not that good. And we're playing with us. And then he started sharing with us for some reason. He knows there's something different about us. And he started sharing with us. And he started sharing, hey, he just came out of jail a week ago for murder. And he's part of a gang. And so, you know. He was using a Joseonjok dialect, and so there's a lot of words in the Korean version of Joseonjok version of Korean. We didn't know, so we're like, "What the heck? What are those words about?" Yeah, 뭐라고요? And he's like, "사람." And we're like, "Oh, we understand that." And he was just telling us, you know, he's part of a gang and murdering people, and he just got out of jail, but it was just this darkness about him, and so you know, I just felt prompted in my heart. You know, to hurry up and take my two teammates and go home. So, you know, I was like, hey, let's go. And they're like, I don't know, what are we supposed to do? Yeah, 안녕히 계세요. And then we just started going. And then he just started following us. And so we were getting real nervous. And one of my brothers, Johan, you know, he's a really funny guy. And he just got really nervous. And we were afraid that one of his gang buddies would come out and jump us and you know, kill us because, you know, we're foreigners. And you know, there is a lot of that kind of violence in Yeongil. Because you got to think of Joseonjok, a lot of Joseonjok, they don't make it through high school.
They have nothing really to lose, and a lot of violence and gangs and stuff there. And so we're going home, and we get to our hotel room, and we're like, I was like, do not go into the hotel. And they're like, why? Then he's gonna know where we are. Yeah, and then he's gonna come into our room at night and kill us. You know, and so Johan starts lying, right? And he goes, oh, 우리 hotel 저기예요, 저기, right? And the guy's like, oh, okay, I'm going to walk you there. And we're like, no need. And Johan's like, oh, no, it's okay. And the guy's like, yeah, I'm going to walk you there. And he starts holding our hand. And we're like, no. And so I just felt the prompting. And it was to pray for him. So I was like, all right, you know, you guys, why don't we just pray for him? I said, 영어로 기도해도 돼요? And then he's like, oh, okay, yeah. And then we just prayed. We prayed. And then we can feel this darkness kind of lift off of him, and we're just praying for him, and he just started to kind of shake and cry, and he just started shaking and crying. And I'm just praying in English; he doesn't understand what I say. But I'm praying, God send him free, God get the spirit of murder out of him, Lord, forgive him for his sins, Lord, make him go away. We're praying, you know, and I say amen. He looks up; he's got these tears in his eyes, and he just hugs me. And he won't let go. I'm like, hallelujah, okay. And he started opening up, and he shared his testimony with us. And he was actually a Christian, because there's a spirit-filled church in the area, and he had gone to one of the services and gotten saved. But because of his old life, he kind of went back to his old life, convicted of whatever crimes, went back to jail, and was just really discouraged and depressed. And that's when we met him. So he was so excited that the Lord remembered him, you know, and he was just really touched. But that darkness, it just covered the whole city, you know. And it's the word of God says here, see, darkness covers the earth. Thick darkness. Darkness so thick you can smell it. But when you got the glory of the Lord rising upon you, God will actually have you go to these dark places and bring the brightness of your light. And the brightness of your light will give hope, will heal the brokenhearted. It will open the prisons of those who are bound. It will bestow upon the child sold into prostitution a crown of beauty. It will bestow on the refugees of war, homeless and hopeless, the oil of gladness, so they have new strength to live. It will bestow on those suffering from mental illness a garment of praise. That's what the Word of God says right there. In Isaiah chapter 61, it says, you bestow a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. You know, I think one of the best cures for depression, despair, mental illness, You know what it is? It's just praise. I think 5 sessions of praising God will help you more than 5 sessions with a psychiatrist. A psychiatrist would treat you, but he'll only treat the symptoms. But you see, when you come and you praise, you put on the garment of praise, God starts to treat the real problems, heals the soul, brings life where there's dead places. Peace where there's fear. Hallelujah. When the glory of God rises upon you, Word of God says, verse 3, nations will come to your light. That word nations, all right, a more accurate rendering is Gentiles. All right, Gentiles will come to your light. And if you know anything, Gentiles are just another word in the Old Testament for heathens, all right, for non-Jews. Anyone who was not a Jew was considered a pagan, a heathen, you know, someone on the outside. And it says, nations, Gentiles will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. You know, when the glory of God rises upon you, Muslims, Buddhists, atheists alike will come to hear what you have to say. Have you ever tried evangelizing to a Muslim? I have. It's not easy. They usually don't give you the time of day. Have you ever tried evangelizing to a Jew? Very difficult. But
But when you got the glory of the Lord rising upon you, it's a whole new game. It's a whole different story. I remember one time in Kazakhstan, I was trying to share the gospel with this guy named B. Let's just call him B. Not like rain B, like B, just the letter B. And I tried to share the gospel with him, and he kept insisting that the God I believe in is the same God he believes in. And I was like, no, no. And I tried to argue with him in the intellectual, but he just got more and more like closed. And so what happened was, we ended up taking a walk through the park, and at the end of that walk, I just felt the Holy Spirit just coming and filling me up. And it's almost like the glory of God was just rising upon me. I just felt new confidence, new boldness. Right, you don't want to just do this to anybody. But when you can feel, you can sense the glory of God rising upon you, right, you can do this. I just looked at him straight in the eye, started being really bold. And I was like, B, what you're believing in, all right, is not the true God that exists, that created heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. And that God is his attention. And I just started to share the gospel with him. And B started to listen. All right. It was like before I couldn't feel the glory, but when I felt the glory and I did that, it was different. His heart changed. And I just shared with him the gospel. And at the end, I was more like, I wasn't sure. And most Catholics, you know, they don't really receive the Christ. So I was just like, take it or leave it. You know, do you want to invite Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior? And he said, yes. So let's do it. I was like, right now? He said, yes, right now. So I led him through a prayer. He prayed to receive Christ. Tears started coming out of his eyes. I told him, you need to get a Bible. He said, okay. A couple days later, he brought a newspaper. He wrapped up that Bible because he knew that his family ever found that he'll be dead. But he was willing to suffer because he found eternal life. He found everlasting life in Christ. The glory of God rise upon you. Muslims, Buddhists, Hindus are going to hear what you have to say. It's going to be something different about you. There's one testimony I heard. This lady was in a store, and they just went out evangelizing, and they were just sharing testimonies. And the owner of the store was Muslim. And they just started having church right there. They just got so excited. They started worshiping God, and they're praying. And the Muslim man started like, he was kind of upset, but then he started kind of watching. And then after they were done praying, one guy looked up and he saw that the Muslim man was just kind of a little bit stunned. So the guy went over to him in love and was just sort of like, would you like to know, you know, what this is all about? And the Muslim guy said, yeah, what's going on over here? I don't know how to describe, but there's this light that's exuding from some of you. And the guy was like, all right, he just went with it. And he just shared the gospel with him, and the Muslim man gave his life to the Lord right there. Just because of a manifest glory of God. Even just that small manifest glory turned the heart of this guy around. When the glory of the Lord rises upon you, powerful political leaders, CEOs, and even kings will be drawn to your brightness. It says it right there. Kings will come to the brightness of your dawn. Because that brightness is not your brightness, it's the glory of God that's appearing in you. It's a wonderful thing when the glory of God rises upon you. And I believe this is the year that we need to begin praying for the glory of God to manifest in our lives, in our church, and in our nation. This is the time. This is the time. And prayer is that tipping point. And it's not going to just take one prayer. It's going to take consistent season of sowing. Right? A farmer, he doesn't just sow one seed. Right? If he's ready for a harvest, he goes out there and he sows as many seeds as that land will allow. That's what you need to do. You need to sow prayers into the glory. Habakkuk 2:14 says, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Right now, the knowledge of sin, evil, corruption, and darkness covers the earth and its people. But God is declaring that He will bring a time when the knowledge of His glory will cover the earth as the water covers the sea. And how will He do this? Will He publish the knowledge of His glory onto the clouds for a year? Will He interrupt cable TV networks and YouTube will stall for a month, and everything you click on is just the knowledge of God's glory. No, that's not going to wait. That's not the way it's going to happen. The way He's going to fill the earth with the knowledge of His glory is through you and me. Look at Isaiah 60 again. Arise. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. As the glory of the Lord rises upon each of you, God is going to begin shining light into dark places and gathering people from all nations. It says in Haggai 2, verse 6 and 7, in a little while I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and the desired of all nations will come, and I will fill my house with what? With glory. Haggai 2, 6 and 7 is saying, I'm going to shake things up. I'm going to shake up the nations. But I'm not just shaking things up for the sake of shaking it up. I'm going to shake things up. But you know what I'm also going to do? I'm going to fill my house with glory. That's you. You are that house. You are the living temple. And when we gather together, there's even more. One will put 1,000 to flight. Two will put 10,000 to flight. There's power when God's people come together. So, hallelujah. I'm going to preach more on this next time. Preach on this more next time. But just individually, I would encourage you to sow into the soil of God's glory. Right, if you sow seeds into God's glory, oh, you reap incredible things from the riches of His glory. Three times in the Bible it mentions, right? My God will supply all your need according to the riches of His glory. Ephesians 3:16, that He will grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit. I encourage each individual here, sow seeds into the glory. Don't just sow seeds in the natural. Right? If you just look at your bank account and you're just like, if I put in this much, I'm going to get this much return. That's just sowing into the natural. But right? But when you take your money and God just says, give it to that person or give it to that missions agency or give it as an offering. And you're just like, whoa, I ain't doing that. Why would I do that? I ain't going to get nothing in return. That's where you're wrong. Because if you will sow it into the glory, you will reap it from the riches of His glory. Hallelujah. And I guarantee you, it will give you much higher return than E-Trade or Bank of America or Udi Inning will ever give you. All right, that's just an individual thing. Hallelujah. And just corporately, I want everybody to pray. Pray this year. God, open the heavens. Open the heavens and bring down your glory. Pray that every Sunday. God, open up. You know, every Sunday you might not see it manifest as strong, but it's all right. You just keep praying that because it's getting stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger if you open up your eyes to see it. Because remember, God's going to pour out His Spirit. That means it's already poured out and there's more coming. That means it's increasing. Right? As a church, we should be praying that. God, open up the heavens and bring down your glory. Manifest your glory in this sanctuary. The house of God ought to be a place where the glory of God dwells. Psalm 26:8. I love the house where you live, O Lord, the place where your glory dwells. The house of God is supposed to be a place where the glory of God is supposed to dwell. Psalm 63:2. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. The sanctuary is a place where you're supposed to behold the power and glory of our God. Not behold Brian Kim. He's got great singing ability. Behold Pastor Sam. I've never had an Indian pastor in my life before. Now, it's, we come into the house of God, we preach, we praise, we pray, what? So that the glory of God will be shown, that the power of God will be beheld in the sanctuary. Oh, hallelujah. And I believe that as we pray that way, as a church, we're going to see supernatural things increase in this church. All right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 to 3. All right, hallelujah. It says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and His glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray together real quick. Lord God, I thank you, O God, for your word. For your word, O God, Lord, is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. We thank you, O God, that is judging the thoughts and intents of all our hearts tonight. I pray that your word, O God, Lord, will go deep into our spirit. O God, Lord, I pray that, Lord, as we, O God, sow, O God, our prayers, and as we receive your word, I pray that it will bring forth an abundant harvest, O God, Lord. A hundredfold of what was sown. I pray, O God, Lord, that our lives would abound with righteousness, with wisdom, with love, O God, Lord, and with just the power of your Spirit manifest in our lives to make your glory great into all nations. And I bind the thief right now in the name of Jesus. I come against every work of the enemy that is in operation here tonight to distract, to mock, to deceive. I bind every evil spirit in the name of Jesus. I come against them. I take authority over them. And I nullify their works right now. In Jesus' name, I thank you, God. Hallelujah. That you're releasing your people. That they can hear your word tonight. I thank you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Amen. You know, hallelujah. You know, tonight, you know, there's a little bit of a battle. There's a little bit of a battle. I don't know if any of y'all noticed, but there's a little bit of battle, because devil does not want you to receive what God has readied for you tonight, whether it be during the time of prayer, praise, or even through my message. All right, so I want you to be on guard, because I can, beyond the shadow of a doubt, tell that there's a battle going on tonight. All right. So you guys need to be alert. You guys need to be try to be alert. Try to be wary of what's going on tonight. All right. Let me share a word from the Lord tonight. You know, I've been reading about various charismatic movements, and I feel like God's been really opening up my eyes, because a lot of this stuff I was just not aware of. Simply, I was just never aware of, or I thought of certain people in a bad light. But God slowly started to undo the damage that was done by perhaps my own prejudices and judgments. And I've been reading some interesting stuff. You know, for the first time, I've been reading key prophecies that are being made over entire nations, over the world, by, you know, people that are known, who have a reputation to have a prophetic ministry, not just for personal prophecy, but for entire nations. All right? It's real interesting. Because I've been hearing a lot of key prophecies for various countries. And one of those nations is actually Korea. We're not talking about like a list of 40 nations and one of them is Korea. I mean, I'm talking like these prophecies are being made about four nations and one of them is Korea. So people are making prophecies that lots of business deals are going to take place between Asia and America and between Asia and Australia. That kind of, you know, that's just like a no-brainer. You know, if you just read the news, you know that the FTA is something that, you know, they've been pushing for a while. Obviously, if the FTA goes well, you know, there are going to be a lot of new business transactions being done between America and Asia. But this prophet was saying that this is going to go through in 2008. Hallelujah. I welcome that, because that means That means low price beef, right? You know, that means like steak and kalbi within the reach of an average dinner and meal from my missionary budget. Hallelujah. There's another guy named Dutch Sheets. He prophesied that there's going to be a transfer of wealth for social transformation in 2008. And this is something that I heard from Cheon. He mentioned that Dutch was prophesying this, that whether that wealth was made from a nation or from maybe even evil means like drug lords or whatnot, but that this wealth is going to be transferred for the purposes of social transformation, whether it's to end poverty or to end the child prostitution, slave trade, things like human trafficking. Thank you. Thank you for the person going to law school. Hallelujah. As another lady was saying that that there's going to be a lot of increase of the supernatural in 2008. Now, that's been happening in different pockets and different places. And for those who really open your eyes, you do your research, or you come across people you've met, you know, maybe like someone like Pastor Sam, maybe he's been able to come across more people because he has a generation of people in the ministry. But for the rest of us, you got to kind of do your research. If you come across some of these things, you know that there's supernatural things happening, but prophecies are being made that in 2008, there's going to be an increase in the supernatural in various places, all right? And one person named Julie Myers from IHOP, she's a worship leader there. And you know, I'm just sharing with you. I don't know if this is like, I don't even know much about her ministry, right? But she was saying it with a lot of authority. And she was prophesying that 2008 is a year of visitation for three chosen nations. And one of them is Korea. This is a year of visitation for Korea. And she also said something very bold. She said that God is erasing the boundary lines between the North and South. All right, and that, you know, that moves my heart because that's something I've been praying for. And in my own spirit and privately, I believe that it's already been happening. God's been doing things there. And through inside information, I know that there's things that are happening to unify North and South Korea. But I've noticed that South Koreans are the ones that are most blind to it. They're the ones that maybe refuse to believe it or they are not interested. But a lot of foreigners are in tune with what God is doing there to unify the country. And Julie Myers prophesied that God is erasing the boundary lines because she said God sees Korea as one. Hallelujah. God sees Korea as one. All right. And in 2008, other people are believing God for what's called an open heaven in Korea. You know, Monica just came back from Mozambique. A lot of people believe that there's an open heaven in Mozambique. There was somebody that came back from Mozambique, and that person told me that when they were in Mozambique, they just lay hands on anybody and just pray, and then boom, they fall under the power of God. They get set free from demonic spirits, or they get healed. You know, they won't be able to hear, and all of a sudden their ears pop open. But when they came to Korea and they did the same thing, nothing happened. So he just... You know, he was a little bit inexperienced, so he just went in and was just like, you know, in the name of Jesus, be healed. And then he was just like, yeah. And then he looked and nothing happened. Nothing happened. And some people believe that the reason why a lot more miracles are happening in Mozambique than perhaps anywhere else is because there's what's called an open heaven. And when there's an open heaven, right, angels, they descend up and down into that place a lot more frequently. And angels are ministering spirits. So, you know, in the book of Revelation, angels go out and they cause disease. Angels cause, you know, this final judgment. They bring all kinds of destruction. But one thing they can also do is bring healing. And they can minister to people, right? And so wherever there's an open heaven, you're going to have a lot more abundance of miracles and healings and power manifestations taking place. And there's a lot of people in, you know, that Heidi Baker circle that are prophesying that God's opening up open heaven for Korea this year. All right? So, you know, take it or leave it. Those are the things that are being heard and spoken out loud. Now, if any or all of these things happen or begin this year, This means Korea will suddenly become one of the craziest hotspots for kingdom work. All right, if you think about it, there's a lot of churches here. And there's a lot of churches, and because the world's largest church is here, there's a tendency to think that all the churches are like the world's largest church. But it's not true. All right? Most of the churches are not like that here in Korea. A lot of churches here in Korea need a touch of revival. They need an outpouring of God's Spirit, and that's the truth. All right? And although you know, Korea is one of the biggest sending nations, right? There's still a big need for revival here, right? And the way we do missions from Korea, you know, we need to question, we need to examine, give careful thought to our ways about how effective are we really being into the missions field, right? Just sending people is not the only, you know, it's not the only thing. We need to go there and do things God's way, right? And I believe that the churches of this nation are going to be revived. From the pastor at the pulpit to the newcomer at the pew, I believe God's going to bring a mighty revival. Whether you like it or not, whether you're ready for it or not, from my own personal prayer closet, I sense that God's really been preparing Korea for a revival. And I believe that He's looking for people who are going to respond. He's looking for a response. He's looking for faith. He's letting these prophecies go out, right? To look how His people will respond, right? And a lot of people have a passive attitude. Well, you know, if God's going to bring the revival, I guess it's just going to come. I'll just do my thing, and I guess it's just going to come. No, you see, Henry Blackaby said, wherever God brings a revelation of what He's doing, He shows you what He's doing. That revelation can be the call for you to get involved with that work. Right? If God starts to reveal to you that He's indeed bringing a revival to this nation, that revelation is your call to get involved with what God's doing here in Korea. And that we read today in Acts chapter 4, it says, when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. You got to take note here, right? Before they were filled with the Spirit of God, what happened? What were they doing? Two things. They were gathered together and they were praying. All right, in the face of persecution, what they did was they gathered together and they were praying. And as they did that, God filled them with the Holy Spirit and they went out and spoke the Word of God with boldness. There's another lady named Stacy Campbell, and she said that prayer is the tipping point. If God's about to do something, prayer is the tipping point. It's what tips that revival over to make it happen. All right? And that's the means that God chooses. He chooses the prayers of the saints to tip that revival over. It's not like God's just like, all right, leave me alone. I'm gonna do what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring a revival, irrespective of what y'all think or how y'all respond. Now, God doesn't work like that, right? God's chosen the means, and that's through the prayers of the saints, right? We need to pray. And one prayer that I believe will be important in tipping over the jars of revival in Korea is a prayer that is hidden in Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 to 3. Okay, when you read that passage, there's a prayer that's hidden there that I believe that God wants us to take hold of in a new way in this new year. And personally, you know, the things that some of these prophets are saying, they're not surprising to me. I feel like these are things that God's been speaking to me about for the last 2 years now. Ever since I came to Korea, God's been really impressing things upon my heart. And when I pray alone, God stirs my spirit regarding Korea. He really stirs my spirit. And I get excited. You know, I have a heart to go to Kazakhstan. I have a heart to, you know, do missions work in the Muslim nations. I have a heart to, you know, go back to New York City. You know, and see revival in New York City churches. I have a heart for all those things. But when I think of Korea, that's where my spirit gets stirred. Because I know God's doing something and He's speaking to me. And He's giving me a deep witness that a national revival is coming soon. You know, I have a friend of mine who has the gift of prophecy. And she's proven, in personal prophecy, she's been proven to me over and over again. And a lot of things that she has said has come to pass and encouraged me and really given me a deep witness. And one thing that she shared with me was a vision that she had while she was in Korea. And she kept saying that she saw an image of the peninsula of Korea, and it was one nation. And she saw God bring a revival to the peninsula, but it was from people from the outside. That people from the outside are going to help make this revival happen. And that's what she told me. And then the first time I heard that, I was like, oh, that's nice, you know. That's great. And I didn't really care about staying in Korea at that time. I just wanted to do my 2 years and then see where the Lord leads me, you know. But I remember that stuck with me. She said, God is bringing revival to Korea, but it will happen through people from the outside. All right, if you're Korean, if you're a Korean native, let me hear you say, yeah. All right, if you're Korean native, come on, let me hear you say, yeah. All right, so we got a lot of Korean natives in here, right? All right, I'm not here to offend anybody. I'm just here to share what God's been revealing to me. All right, you could take it or leave it. I'm not telling you that this is set in stone. I'm just sharing with you from my heart. All right, now I'm just sharing rather than preaching, right? And this, maybe some Koreans, they don't like that idea. And this seems unlikely, since Korea has many talented and well-studied pastors. I mean, Korea has some of them, they have so many seminaries here. And these seminaries are really, really good in their theology. All right? And, you know, they're very studious people because, you know, Korea has one of the best academics in the world. Right? They're like number two or something, right? There's 100% literacy rate here. And it might be like, why would God need people from the outside? We already have enough people here. Why wouldn't God use people here? Or you might think Korea sends the most missionaries per capita of any country in the world. Right, U.S. total sends more, but per capita, Korea sends so much more. And you might think, well, if Korea is sending out all these missionaries, why would Korea need help from the outside to make revival happen? But this is the vision that my friend keeps getting. Every time we talk on the phone, we affirm it again and again. I attended a conference last week featuring Heidi Baker. It was hosted by Harvest International, which is a ministry that's run by Cheon. And during the conference, it was clear to me that the pouring out of God's Spirit, healings, and impartations, at least at this conference, they were all being done by people from the outside. And I took note of that. I looked and I said, why isn't there a Korean pastor doing impartation? Why is there a Korean revival speaker up there healing people? Why isn't all people from the outside? I took note of that. And Cheon talked about the fivefold ministry, how God is really bringing the fivefold ministry into Korea. And this is also being initiated by people from the outside. All right? City Hall had a meeting a few months ago with foreigners, and they stated that there are about 110,000 foreigners in Seoul today. 110,000.